from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
From his footprint, he looks like a big fella.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mendoza, let him sit down.
No, let's be a leader. Throw him out there.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Let us see what he's got.
Today's guests, actor Olivia Munn, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number one of our final show of this week. In other words, it's a Friday show. right here on the Rich Eisen Show is on the air, and we're on the air on ESPN2 today, as well as Disney Plus and ESPN, the app. That's our usual home between 12 and 3 Eastern time. We say hello to our ESPN radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 80 listeners as well. We're all over the place, and we're psyched to have you here on this Masters Friday on the program. Olivia Munn is in our green room. Your Friends and Neighbors airs Fridays on Apple TV, and it's an outstanding show. And I guess this is a perfect time to tell you, Chris Brockman, and you, Jay Felly, and also TJ, I'll also let you know.
I mean, since I'm here,
that when you're not home, I'm robbing your house.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Oh, because you didn't initially. Because you say I'm always at home. Is that?
Well, I mean, I know when you're not home because people send up a flare. we were wondering if you're okay. You know, but yeah, I'm in your house taking your belongings, rummaging through your things.
Makes sense.
Okay. Just like John Hamm.
Yeah. Got it.
In that awesome show that you should all watch on Apple TV.
My watch game is not that strong.
Oh, is that right?
Mine either.
So, okay. Brockman, on the other hand?
Yeah. Okay.
I have a good pen game if you've seen season two. Yeah. And
it's interesting that I saw you've got a bag. You're heading out this weekend.
Yeah, I'm
so
heading out.
I am. Right. I would be all over your spot if I wasn't leaving also.
Right.
You know, I'm heading off to the East Coast.
I planned that.
Running my 40-yard dash on the campus of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital on Saturday and then going to host SportsCenter midnight Sunday. And then we're going to be in New York next week.
Fantastic. It's
good times. Good times all. But Olivia Munn is in our green room, and we'll bring her out shortly. Talk about that again. Awesome show, Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV. New episode dropping, as the kids might say, tonight. And then Tom Pelissero in his usual spot, the NFL draft, right around the corner. And so Mike Mayock will be in hour number three to give us his thoughts on his draft board as he sees fit. Meanwhile, it's the second round of the Masters going down right now. You're wearing your Masters hat today, Chris.
I am. Well, it's also just convenience because I literally have to take off as soon as the show ends. But yes.
So what does that mean? So you?
That's mean I just went with the hat. Less cleanup after the show.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well,
you're wearing a hat so you don't have to take a wipe and just do this three times?
It's literally just
you really have to run?
Yeah, I gotta run.
You can't do that while leaving for the airport.
Well, you know, time is money, Rich. You get it, you know what I mean?
Sweaters.
I don't mean to mess with your process.
Thank you.
Once again, yeah. I guess, do we get the music going here? We chose the tune called Springtime Romance.
That's great.
Over some unfortunately titled song called Porpoise Mouth was the other choice yesterday.
A fan favorite.
All right, so hit the music, please. Chris Brockman, give us an update on what's going on in round two of the Masters to lead off our Friday show.
Rich Eisen, the course is biting back today. Weather expected to be a factor. It's hot and it's dry down in Augusta. Sam Burns and Roy McIlroy still 5 under. Your leaders, they don't tee off for about another hour or so. Sam Burns in 30 minutes. Rory at 1:44.
Okay, so then the back end of hour two is when Rory's going to step out on the course.
Yeah, your low man on the course today, Tyrrell Hatton, is 3 under through 8.
Okay.
That puts him at 1 under for the tournament. Scottie Scheffler struggling today.
Ooh.
He's plus 2 all the way
overall
down to even par.
Oh, no, I got it.
Even
okay.
par, plus 2
right.
in the day
okay.
through 6.
Right.
John Rahm, a tough 78 to open the Masters. He's 2 under through 8 today.
Okay. There you
projected
go.
Cut line of plus 3. He is 1 back of that. So keep an eye on John Rahm today.
Well, I'm keeping an eye on all the LIV golfers, right? With DeChambeau getting out there, he's starting 4 over today, right? And Rahm had a brutal day yesterday, and everyone's talking about how the LIV golfers are. Let's call it the way it is. You can now turn the music down because I'm going to say the word soft, which is what the music.
Yeah, six LIV golfers in the field this year. Not a single one was under par. John Rahm, like I said, 78 yesterday, even though he's having a nice day so far.
That's good.
Charles Schwartzel, a former winner, he was 3 over. Bubba Watson, 2-time winner, he's 4 over. Bryson, obviously, with the triple on 11 yesterday, he finished 4 over. Had a weird interaction with a reporter after the round yesterday because, you know, he's got these special 3D irons that he designed himself.
Yeah.
And his trouble at Augusta in recent years has been with iron play.
Yes.
And it's just, Bryson, come on, bro.
So he's like printing out his own clubs? Is that what's happening?
He is designing and 3D printing his own golf clubs. Of course, he has to get those approved by the USGA and the Masters. But he does that. He follows all the steps. But yeah, iron play, but a huge issue for Bryson. And then taking issue with people asking him about it.
Well, the issue again is, and, you know, having Alan Shipnuck on Wednesday talking about how the LIV Tour is clearly a second-tier tour, yeah, and that at the end of the day may not even be, you know, tour number two compared to how the PGA Tour has coalesced and moved forward. That is the way that they play, the tournament setup that they have, does it allow these guys to be as sharp as they can when it's time to compete like this on this level with 4 rounds. And we didn't see that in the early parts of the LIV Tour existing. Right. That wasn't an issue. And now the issue is on this first day, front and center, about if these guys are tournament tested enough to show up at a spot like the Masters and perform. And Thursday, the answer was an emphatic no.
Mm-hmm.
And then Koepka, as you could see, he's the one that took the amnesty.
Yeah.
And he's performing well so far in the first round and a half or round and a quarter for him at the Masters.
Yeah, he was even yesterday, kind of an up and down round, but did manage to stay at level par, 1 under today through 7. But he's been grinding. He's been playing basically every week on tour this year,
mm-hmm,
has performed well. The putter has kind of been the main issue for him, but he's been awesome off the tee, awesome approach. And, you know, you can see that because the last couple of years on LIV, he was virtually uncompetitive. So there's no question, you know, where the most competitive reps come in the golf world. It's on the PGA Tour, and you're seeing that play out, you know, despite, hey, Bryson had won 2 LIV events coming in. Yeah, well, he shot 4 over yesterday. So what kind of reps has he really been getting?
Yeah, Fred just had a drop on the famed 12th hole.
He was 1 under today.
I know. He's trying to make that cut.
Yeah, he had a terrible blow up at the end. He had a 9 on 15.
Jeez.
And then, you know, a couple of bogeys thereafter to kind of, you know, he had a nice 2 under round going and then quickly went to plus 6.
Can I just, I'll say something here about the Masters and how it's so special in the fact that every other major in golf, as we know, goes from place to place to place to place. It rotates. And this is the only one that just stays put. It's the course. And the course itself is a star. And the way it looks, the way it sounds, is just pops off the screen. Makes you want to, more than any other tournament, go out and grab sticks and play golf, which is exactly what you want, right? You want people to get more involved in the sport and want to play. And any lead that you have is not safe, and any deficit that you have is not out of the realm to overcome. Yep. That's because the setup of the courts, and it's just amazing. And you just, you know, as a fan of it, which hole is which and which hole has a history to it and which players have performed well on them and or not.
Yeah, the iconic shots on each of those holes throughout the years. Yeah.
But to me, as this event keeps getting better and the improvement that it makes every year to its digital component, the way that you can follow it, and the app is amazing. Yep. It's just maybe one of the best sports apps around. It's awesome. And they're terrific at putting this event on and just, you know, the azaleas in the foreground and things of that nature want to make you want to go.
They just started this new thing too called the Vault. You can go back and find every shot that's ever been taken to a certain year, but in Masters history, you go back 50 years and, oh, what was the second shot on 12 in 1980? You can watch all of those shots.
Right.
It's incredible.
It's great. So you're a fan, you could follow it. And if you're a fan that's following it, you want to go to it. And if you're there, you'll understand why I'm saying what I'm about to say about what makes the Masters great. And this may be the greatest thing about it. And I know I'm going to sound like somebody yelling at someone on their lawn. But they take everyone's cell phones away. They take your phones away. And if you have the temerity to actually bring it, you better not take it.
Yeah. But
take a look at this photograph here. What do you notice? No one's on their phones. Everyone's looking at the player. They're not also, if they're not looking at the player, taking a selfie or having a selfie video or living the moment through their phones. Nobody is doing that because the Masters take your phones away. I saw, I don't know, by the way, on my phone, scrolling. Okay. No, I saw this to make my point. I'm talking about something I saw on my phone, which is a 21st century thing for sure. I get it. I saw, has this shown up on any of your timelines? An AI video of the 2026 version of Friends. Have you seen this? I've seen this a couple times over the last 2 days. It is Friends, obviously AI, and every scene that they're in, whether it's in the coffee shop or they're in their apartment looking out the window at the naked guy across the way. You remember all these scenes in Friends?
Yep.
They're in their apartments. You know, Joey and Chandler are in their chairs. Every single shot. They're on their phones, 2026 Friends.
That's funny.
They're not talking to each other. They're not interacting with each other. They're just sitting there scrolling to the music of the opening of Friends. And they're, you know, they're sitting, you know, they're in the opening around that fountain on their phones. And it's amazing that, again, the Masters is able to utilize their exclusive nature of their event to tell the patrons, if you're coming,
this is how it is.
This is how it is.
Yeah.
I've got friends, people who are telling me, you know, hey, I'm going to the Masters. Congrats. They're like, but if you need me,
I'm out. You can't get me.
Right.
8 to 10 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm incommunicado. And that's like a throwback too. Again, I kind of wanted to say that
during the practice rounds, you're allowed to have a camera, but only on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday
because they don't want the shutter noise.
Yeah, you can't even bring a camera to the round on Thursday, Friday, and over the weekend. I know, like, people were kind of complaining, golf purist, about, you know, Jason Kelce and Kevin Hart par three, but the Masters is really kind of influencer free, which is maybe the last place on earth that is such.
But Kelce going at the par three, it's just, what's the big deal? That one I didn't understand. So Kevin Hart has taken a swing. What is that? Like,
he was like Bryson's caddy, too. It's just like, who cares?
Exactly. It's called Buzz. It's called Buzz, and I understand what I just said was I kind of like the throwback aspect of it, but still, it's the 21st century. In this day and age, there is some relevancy and some eyeballs that you do want to have on your broadcast. And if you pizzazz up the par three like that, who cares?
Who cares? I'm kind of with you on that too, but I do.
Plus, I will not stand for any Kelce slander involving any Kelce. You know, but those photographs that you see of all of these folks who are there at the Masters, they are not lost in their algorithms. They're lost in the player, and they're not watching it through their phone, and they're paying attention, and they're seeing these moments, and they're locked in. You know what? Oh, the roar of the Masters, the echoes, and a little bit less. You know why? Because somebody's on Threads. That doesn't happen. I just kind of wanted to point that out. All right, now the kids can come back on the lawn. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Olivia Munn is in our green room, but we're about to end that. She's coming on out. We're going to talk about your friends and neighbors. And I go back in the day with Olivia Munn. So does this show. We'll be talking about all of that when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rich Eisen here. I've traveled all over for some of the biggest NFL moments you can imagine. Conference championships, Super Bowls, draft weekends, and everywhere I go, the city just feels different. It's buzzing, packed, electric. Now, take that energy and multiply it by the entire world. That's what's coming this summer with the FIFA World Cup. Fans from every corner of the globe are going to be traveling to experience it live. And when that many people come to town, they're all looking for a place to stay. And that got me thinking. If you live in or near a host city, this is one of those rare moments. You already have a space. This summer, you could list your space on Airbnb while fans are in town for the FIFA World Cup. Not as a full-time thing. Not as some huge lifestyle change. Just during an event when demand is naturally high. When I travel for big games, I just want a comfortable place in a real neighborhood. And that's exactly what so many visiting fans will be looking for. If you've ever thought about listing your space, this summer is a great time as we welcome FIFA World Cup fans. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. Is that better for you?
I think so.
Okay.
I feel more.
All right. We can figure that out.
More present.
TJ's trying to figure out the radio. We're back here on the radio audience has returned. Jay, do you want to come here with the professional microphone?
I'll come fix it.
This is great.
I don't know.
So for those on the radio,
this is fantastic.
Yeah,
listen,
I'm facing, like I'm your
Olivia Munn is here, our usual chair. Mm-hmm. was not comfortable.
It's a bit deep for a half Asian girl. I look taller than I am. People are always surprised.
So what we've done is we've changed chairs on the fly.
I mean, you can probably lower the seat a little bit.
You want to? You could lower the seat.
You can lower the seat a little, which is the thing on the right side. Right side. There we go. There you go. There you go.
We're good.
We've adjusted. How does that? Is that fine for you?
I feel great.
Yes.
This is awesome. Thanks, guys.
I'm not that comfortable.
What are you? So
he's on his knees.
Yeah, are you on your knees? Yeah.
Feller, slide him that chair over behind you.
Yeah, slide the chair over. We just. See, I'm one of those types.
Well, he was on his knees. I was just.
I got to make everyone comfortable.
I love this.
To make sure. And now you've got your chair. All right, we're all good.
Okay.
All right, let's start from the scratch. Gentlemen. We're back. Start from the beginning.
I'm so comfortable, I'll expose every secret of mine. This is it.
Your Friends and Neighbors is on Apple TV. Season 2, Olivia Munn is here, all nice and cozy and comfortable.
I love it. Thank you so much.
You know what? I want to make sure you're happy because you've been so kind to this show. Put up the photograph, Mike Hoskins. This was back in Super Bowl. By we just did Super Bowl 60, and this is Super Bowl 47 in New Orleans.
Look at
us,
that.
Right?
That's Super Bowl. When I was on the newsroom.
That's right. You were coming on. I believe you were coming on NFL Network to promote the newsroom.
Yeah, I know.
And then
it was an exciting Super Bowl.
That was the night the lights went out.
Yes, that was such a. I was like walking around. It was just such a cool night.
I mean, that was one of those moments where it's just like, holy crap, the lights just went out in the middle of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But that was 13 years ago. One of us looks exactly the same, and it's not that guy.
I think we both look like we're doing okay.
We're doing all right. And then this show was born out of a podcast, which you were also kind enough
back
to come on and back in the day, a year
when
before
you were
that.
It was like a little booth, it felt like.
There it is.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, and that outfit I loved. I thought it was awesome.
Oh,
bright pink.
No, that sweater does look good. I mean, oh, no, I'm sorry.
It's not my vibe anymore.
Okay.
But it was a go-to.
Were you comfortable in that chair? Doesn't look like we were, neither of us were very comfortable in our chairs in that little booth that we were in.
At that time in my life, I probably wasn't confident enough to be like, can I get another chair? Although I didn't ask for another chair this time, but I wanted to just purchase.
I did offer the chair.
This time.
Today.
Yes, I know. It was very nice.
It's all good. Yeah, I know. But I just remember we were talking back then as well about how, as always in my life, you'd known my wife before you and I had met because you worked at Fox Sports, correct?
I was an intern at Fox Sports.
Okay.
Like the first or second year that it was even created. And
yeah.
It was on the Fox lot. It was like when you go in, it's
probably the Pico Boulevard, right?
Yeah, the right building. And right. So I applied for an internship.
Right.
And I didn't get it. And I was told by somebody, just go to California. Just get there and then call them and say, I've made it all the way here from Oklahoma. Can you just at least see me?
Damn.
So I got in my car and I just drove all the way. I was in college at this point. And I drove there and I was staying with some cousins in Altadena.
Right.
And I said, I called and it was the woman who's in charge of all the internships. And I said, look, I drove all the way out here. Can you just give me a meeting?
Mm-hmm.
So she said, okay. And I went in and then she ended up hiring me to log hockey tape.
Yes.
It might've been the most, I was like, I don't know hockey. And following hockey is like this. I don't know where the puck is. Right. I'm like, where is it?
Yeah.
It's
that's
insane.
Why Fox made it glow.
Oh, yeah?
You know, back in the day.
That's
yeah.
right. But not from logging tape.
Not from logging tape.
No, not the tape. The tape did not glow. But then, and at that same time, my job was also to bring coffee to different on-air personalities. And so there would be coffee or whatever the person's like drink of choice was like ordered in. And I would bring Susie her coffee. Yeah. And she was always very nice.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah. She's always very nice. Yeah.
She's a big coffee drinker.
Yeah.
And is a bit of a coffee snob a little bit. So I'm sure that, you know, you had to get that right. Really do that? That's incredible.
I did. Okay. When I was there, I was like, at the time, I wanted to be like, I didn't know a lot about sports.
Okay.
But the University of Oklahoma at that time, if you remember, the Sooners were like in back to back championships with Josh Heupel at the helm, right?
Yeah, right.
It
sure.
was like, it just, it was like Bob Stoops, right? That whole era.
Yeah.
And so ESPN Game Day was there a lot and everybody was there. And so I wanted to be a journalist, but it was so difficult to get any internships at the news stations because like so many like girls wanted to be in the news.
The local stations you're talking
about. The local station where you could get the internships or work at the school paper. And
right.
So I was like, I'm going to pivot to sports because I think I'll have an easier shot because I might be the only girl like at that time, like applying. And sure enough, it worked. I was working at Sooners Illustrated, the magazine, and I got the job at the school paper and I got an internship at the CBS affiliate there. And so that was my goal. I was like, I want to be a sports journalist. As well as an actor, I thought I could, you know, swing both.
Sure.
When I was at Fox Sports, that's what I told them I wanted to do. And eventually they let me go out with like the pro summer league tour for the NBA. You know, once they you know, make it in the draft, they go. So I was able to go out and off camera, do all of the interviews and stuff.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you ever do sideline reporting? Did you ever do that?
I did not.
But did you, is that something you were?
Yeah.
You
Melissa Stark was a big like inspiration. I really wanted to.
Huh.
Yeah, I really wanted to do that. I thought that at the time, I could do college football sideline reporting, and then in the off season, be on General Hospital. That's what I. That was my goal. That was like the ultimate
goal.
There's
still time. I think there's still time.
I mean neither have asked me to do the job.
Right.
But I really did. I was like, I was so excited when they offered me to do the pro summer league tour.
But GH was, that was the initial goal.
I grew up in Tokyo. I was in a military family.
Yeah.
So, FEN is like the military broadcasting network. And so when we were in Japan, they would only have a couple, soap operas that would come through, American shows,
right,
and Guiding Light and General Hospital were the two. So I, for some reason, like General Hospital more. And that was I was like, if I could just be on General Hospital, that would be the best.
Was that post Luke and Laura?
It was a little bit post, or like kind of during the end of the
Robert but Scorpio.
I don't remember that name.
See, okay, I'm aging myself here, but that.
But I did eventually. I got an audition for General Hospital. I did not get it, but I did audition.
What's the matter with these people living?
I probably was not very good. I'll tell you that. This is the beginning, and I was like very nervous, and I didn't know what I was doing. So.
At what point did you say, screw this sports stuff? At what point did that happen? Where you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go full bore into acting.
Because it wasn't working, and I'd moved out here.
Right.
Because I was like, I had some connections at Fox Sports. So once I graduated college, I moved out.
Right.
And I just, there was nothing for me to do.
Yes.
And I wasn't even good at logging tape, so there was like no job for me.
Well, to ask somebody from Oklahoma log hockey.
Well, I think a lot of people from Oklahoma could. I am just the person who couldn't.
Got it.
And then I met someone who had a commercial agent and said, like, you should meet with this commercial agent. And I thought, well, let me just because that was always my dream.
Right.
Like, the bigger dream was to be an actor.
Right.
And my mom, you know, she's an immigrant and first generation American, so majoring in theater was not an option for my family.
Right.
So I was like, what if I'm a journalist? Because I love storytelling. And so like that became my goal, but my dream was to be an actor. And so I thought, well, I'm not able to do it, you know, for what my career was and my dream career at that time. And let me just go for my actual dream. And so then I just pivoted.
What was the big break?
The big break was this video game network called G4, and it's a show called Attack of the Show, and it was a live daily show that was like pop culture and tech.
Yeah,
and it was myself and this my co-host Kevin Pereira, and we were on live every day, and it was like it was before like I remember him even my co-host signing me up for Twitter, like it just begun. So it's this other time where like there weren't things on the show on the TV like that, and we were just like lightning in a bottle, and it was just a huge success. And because of that, I got to the Daily Show with Jon Stewart. So that was like the that was a big moment for me to get G4. But the bigger like mainstream Hollywood breakout was the Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
What was that like? Because I mean, I appeared once on The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
Once.
Being interviewed.
Mm-hmm. Because SportsCenter, I was on at SportsCenter at the time, and it had its 20,000th episode.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Stewart came back before I appeared and couldn't have been nicer, like calmed me down a little bit because I just wanted to be funny for Jon.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do is be funny for him. I blew it.
No, really?
Olivia, I can't watch it back.
So as a guest, you had a bunch of jokes.
I had jokes. And then it was when he started cursing as well for the first time.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't do that to start when he was on Daily Show. He started doing that. And that's what he started, like 20,000 sports centers. Man, that's a whole bunch of BS. And he said the full word. And it was like he snapped this big curveball off on me. And I then try to be funnier. The rest of it was terrible. Oh. But I can only imagine what it must have been like to be on.
Get that call?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I got the call. I remember my agent called me and he said, like, Jon Stewart wants to meet you.
Yeah.
Because on G4, I would do, it was like, there was, it's not that it was comedy because it was all live and we're being ourselves. But right. They were like. Being fun and having, you know, a sense of humor was really big on that show. But also I would do these sketches and like they were like I would act out like these different comedic sketches and stuff. So my agent called me, said, Jon wants to meet with you. And I was like, did you put me up for this? And credit to my agent for not taking the credit. But he was like, no, it was an incoming call and he wants to meet with you. And at the time I had just booked my first like TV show and it was on NBC. Mm-hmm. And so I was in New York and I took a meeting with him. I mean, at the time, you know, and now people know of Jon Stewart again because now he's back, but he retired.
Thank goodness, I know.
Yeah. And
right.
And he was just, when it comes to like comedy, like getting picked by him was like the hand of God.
It is.
It was a dream I never even thought of because it was just so, so lofty. And he brought me on and it was like my first thing was this, you know, senior Asian correspondent. And we were talking about
senior Asian correspondent.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And we were, and it was like I remember when he gave me the job, and I remember on my first day he brings me out before to introduce me to the audience.
Yeah,
which I wasn't expecting. And I come out and I just say hi and he announced it as a surprise to the audience. And then we go and I do my first. My first piece, and it was like an onset, you know, off to the side, an onset like bit, and it was with all of the other correspondents behind me. But at first, it starts with me, and then they show up. But like it was, I stood in the wings, like if we were just over there, and I stood in the wings, and it was like dark, and the spotlight's on him, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm about to pass out, and I realized that I hadn't been breathing; I was just holding my breath, so anxious.
Yeah,
and then when I heard the iconic music to the opening of The Daily Show, it was a very surreal moment. And because of that, because I was on that show, along with the NBC show that I was on, but I think mostly because The Daily Show, Aaron Sorkin watched me, saw me, and brought me in to audition for The Newsroom, which was the even bigger step. So like the first thing that gave me like any kind of money in Hollywood was Attack of the Show. The first big break in Hollywood was The Daily Show. And then The Newsroom kind of solidified my ability to be an actor.
And the irony that you're in a show about journalism.
Right, yeah.
As an actress.
And on both. The Daily Show, I was playing a fake reporter. And The Newsroom, I was playing a real reporter. So it all came full circle.
That's pretty cool. Olivia Munn here on The Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk your friends and neighbors. What an outstanding show.
Thank you.
You are welcome. It is so much fun to see people being bad.
It's really fun to play.
You know what I mean? I bet. So what is it like, you know, getting these scripts and being on this set and being part of this show for you right now?
When I got the script the first time, I was able to talk with the creator, Jonathan Tropper, and he told me about how that first season would go.
Yeah.
And it was a world I had never played in, and it was a character I'd never done.
Yeah.
And I was I just loved it from the minute I was reading the first episode. And you know, the thing at that time is that I had already gone through so much. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'd like had my first child and had horrible postpartum anxiety that lasted a year, and then I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and so I'd gone through many surgeries and treatments. So I really wasn't looking to be in front of the camera anymore, and I had actually told my reps to just like stand down. I don't think this is for me. It's just, I didn't want to be exposed anymore. I didn't want to be, you know, cause whenever you're in, you know, in front of the camera, there's just like, there's a lot of energy that can come back to you and negative and positive. And,
right.
And when I read it and they're like, you only have to sign on for one season. Cause normally when you sign up for these shows, you have to sign up for like 6 years.
Yeah.
In case it's a big hit, they don't want to lose you.
Mm-hmm.
So I agreed to just 1 year, and I was like, this is great. And it was like after episode 2, they asked me to sign on for longer. And I was like, well, I don't know how my character will continue because of what happens in season one.
Correct.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how you guys, they're like, we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out. And so I ended up signing on, and I'm so happy I did because it's such a fun show. And we never expected it to be like as well received as it has been. Because you never know. Like, I mean, you know, it's the same thing with anybody. Anytime we put out anything,
yeah,
you have no idea if people are going to like it. And there are many times where people have said, no, we do not like what you did. And so
right,
you have to just prepare for that. So, you know, getting this role was like amazing, but getting the response back from the audiences was like so exciting for us.
Well, this show had buzz from episode one. As soon as it hit, mm-hmm, you know, I'm hearing from a bunch of people, you got to see, you got to watch it, got to watch it, got to watch it. So Susie and I did. And, you know, Ham is just, basically anything he's in, I'll give a whirl to, mm-hmm, you know.
Well, this is his first series regular role since Mad Men.
Since Mad Men,
he's
been
on other shows or like limited series and like guest stars, like long guest stars on stuff. But this is his first like actual like series.
Since Don Draper,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Yeah.
If Don Draper was breaking into people's homes.
I know.
You know, although it's a totally different character, obviously. But it's just a fascinating idea that somebody who is well-to-do then is down on his luck, like kind of breaks bad a little bit in that respect.
Yeah. And well, like our creator, he
breaks into people's homes?
No, maybe.
Right.
He lived in Westchester, and he had his like first marriage, and he'd been around all of these types of people and the dynamic of going through a divorce and all this. So he just took all of that really rich experience and turned it into this show. And it's really funny because he'll tell me that people will often that he's known from that world would be like, is that character based off me? I feel like that's me. And he's like, it's never a good thing to think that, you know, not as a character.
Certainly not on this show.
You're like, you don't want to be any of these characters.
Right. Unless you have their bank account, I imagine.
True.
And now James Marsden has joined.
Yeah.
Fellow Oklahoman, correct?
Yeah.
You go back with him pretty much?
Go way back. So when I moved from Oklahoma to Japan when I was like 8 years old. Then I came back at 16 years old.
Yeah.
Which is a very difficult time to go back to high school.
Right.
And I had really difficult time making friends. But there's one girl, her name was Jenny Marsden, who asked me to be her friend. And that's James's younger sister.
Come on.
Yeah. And at that time, he was on a CBS show. It was like his first big break.
Yeah.
And he was coming home, and she asked him to take her friends out to dinner, and he took us to Bennigan's. Do you know Bennigan's?
Of course.
Bennigan's, and then Brahms. If you've been in, like, Oklahoma, Texas, it's a big ice cream hamburger shop.
Uh-huh.
He took us to get ice cream afterwards, and it was just such a huge core memory moment for me because I wanted to be an actor for so long, but it didn't seem possible, but I just knew I wanted to do it. And by meeting him, it was like, oh, somebody that was like walked the same steps as I in these same hallways at this high school, like actually made it. And maybe I can too. So it really like solidified in me that I'm going to go try because it's maybe not as impossible as it seemed.
Okay.
And it wasn't until like 13 or 15 years later that I'd come into Hollywood. I've had some success and I saw him at this GQ Men of the Year party across the way. And I was like, oh my God. And I just walked like right over to him and was like, you're not going to remember this, but you took me and your sister and some friends out to Bennigan's. Mm-hmm. And he vaguely remembered it, but we stayed friends and we've always wanted to work on something together. And then here we are.
Boom.
Yeah.
It's odd that he would be at a GQ party.
Yeah.
I mean, we met him at Big Slick, the charity event in Kansas City with Rudd and Sudeikis and everybody. I met him and he's just a great human, like a good dude, like a regular person.
Yeah,
you know?
He and I, even though I grew up in Japan a lot, like it was a military family. So there's that Oklahoma military sensibility, which is that, you know, we know what it's like to have to really work for something. And we know that, you know, we both went out there with no connections. You know, we came here and we're like, okay, let's just figure it out. And, you know, he and I talk about the feeling of, you know, well, he's always working. He's like the busiest man in Hollywood. You see him on everything. And there's that, we talk about that Oklahoma thing in him that's like really down to earth. That doesn't believe that this is going to last forever. So he's like, I got to like work when I can and save the money when I can. And that's just a really like humble mentality. And that's just who he is.
Well, I can't thank you, enough for being here.
Is that when we're on set, we eat the same snack. We have the same lunch. We get, and we both attribute it to being from Oklahoma.
What
we
is it?
It's a white bread, just like a regular white bread.
That's weird.
Is it?
Sorry. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. I was like, because I know in Hollywood,
you're
I had
speaking
some...
to a New York Jew that somebody from Oklahoma is just eating white bread, but that's okay.
Amanda Pete from the show, she would watch us and she'd watch me. She's like, are you eating what I think you're eating? And I was like, yeah. I was like, what's this? What's surprising? She goes, because you're an actress. Like, we're supposed to be eating salads.
That's
I was
right.
like, I don't. It was, right. it's white bread,
yeah.
mayonnaise and mustard.
Wow.
Thin sliced pickles.
Wow.
Turkey, cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato.
That actually sounds really good.
What do we call this? Is it called anything?
We called a white bread sandwich with mayonnaise and mustard.
So it has no...
We have to give the order.
I like it.
And then cut it diagonally.
Okay.
And then have chips on the side. That's a very... You need
of course.
The...
Diagonal cutting is a crucial
yes.
part of this.
Yes.
You're not going to go right down the middle.
My
of
mom
not.
Used to go right down the middle. Mm, insane. She's crazy.
I don't need that.
Actually crazy.
Before I let you go, if you don't mind putting you a little bit on the spot, what is your favorite joke of your husband's? Favorite bit?
It just came to me yesterday. I love his French fry one, where you talk about when every... Do you remember that one? It's like...
Go for it.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to butcher it.
That's okay.
I'm going to tell you what it's about, not try to do it, but about how whenever anybody orders French fries, they act like it's like taking drugs or whatever. You're like, does anybody want to do some meth? Do you want to do meth? You're like, you'll do some meth. It's like that kind of joke. It's like basically... And like, if I get fries, you'll have some fries, right? Like,
correct.
I know you'll. But he changes fries into like... drugs or coke or whatever.
It's
the
like peer
is.
Pressure involving
or basically fries. Being like nobody wants to order the fries because it feels like they're being bad, so they're going to find another friend to like be bad with. And then so that's
I like it.
And then also he has this joke from his dad going through McDonald's and because I was driving with my son yesterday and he was like McDonald's and I haven't taken a McDonald's, so I was like, who took you there? And I think it may have been John. So like, how do you know about the golden arches? And so then John has this great joke about when he was a kid, they were on a road trip and his dad was driving by the McDonald's, and so all the kids in the car were like screaming McDonald's, McDonald's. And so his dad drove in, went through the drive-thru, and then got one black coffee and drove off. And he was like the one thing that no kid could enjoy. You know, I don't think he told this part, but I asked him, I go, what happened afterwards? And his mom was like, Chip, what are you doing? And he was like, what? Like, didn't really grasp what he did.
Wow.
I know. His parents are the best.
Parenting.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't know what's worse, that or cutting a sandwich right down the middle.
The My sandwich. Goodness.
Great to see you, Olivia.
Good to
Munn.
See you too.
Let's do this more often.
Do you have repeat guests?
Of course.
Okay, I can't wait to come back next week.
And next week, the chair will be waiting.
Oh my God, thank you. Thank you so much
your
kindness, your generosity, your courtesy.
Excellent.
I'll never forget you.
You know, it's just, and I'm just like, we got to get you a better armrest. Like, it's
it's falling apart.
It's falling apart.
Oh, the chair's 10 years old.
Okay.
There you guys were taking offset pictures, but my hair was a little messy. Do you want to come back and I'll take
it? All right, RJ, we need you.
We got that next.
He wants
That's next.
Pictures,
or next week when Olivia Munn comes back, when episode 3 drops of your
I'll
Friends
be here for
and
every episode.
I love it. Airs Fridays on Apple TV, currently in season 2. It is awesome. You can go binge it right now. And if you're not, you already know what it's like. And you're getting ready for episode 2 tonight. Great to see you, Olivia Munn.
Good to see you, too.
You bet. Back here on The Rich Eisen Show in a sec.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast. In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details.
You're sitting at a red light or stuck in traffic, and your phone lights up. Maybe it's a text, a video call, a new post, or a quick notification you think you can check in a second. It feels harmless, but the truth is, once your eyes leave the road, you're not really driving anymore. And traffic doesn't pause just because you do. That split second of distraction can throw off everything. Your reaction time, your awareness, your ability to avoid someone else's mistake. You could damage your car, injure yourself, or hurt someone you care about. Or you could get pulled over for a reminder that your phone isn't worth the risk. So before you start driving, make it easy on yourself. Put your phone on silent. Toss it in the glove box. Set it to do not disturb. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take some phone calls. All Rise, Terzo in Iowa, is on hold and no longer. What's up, Terzo?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, it's kind of funny when we were having Olivia on. I look up, I'm watching the Masters here, and it's the ESPN commercial of Koepka cutting the peanut butter and jelly sandwich diagonally.
Yep.
He completely messes it up, and then he looks at his patty and just shakes his head. So I thought that was kind of funny that that popped
That's
up.
That's serendipity, is it not? You know, I never even thought of that. Like, are you a diagonal cutter? Or a straight cutter?
I'm 100% a diagonal cutter.
Don't cut at all. Okay.
You don't cut a sandwich any other way.
Okay, I'm with you.
Pick it up and eat it straight up and down.
Okay,
hey, let's go. Hey, Rich, I got a couple of things here before I get to the Masters. I just wanted to give it a shout out to yourself for returning back to ESPN on Sunday, man. Congratulations.
I'm fired up.
And also congratulations to Susie and the ladies for the Women's Sports Now
for sure.
Popping back on, man. Yeah, that's awesome. I was kind of wondering if that was going to where that was going to be at, because I've enjoyed watching it.
I appreciate that. Thursdays, 6 Eastern, so 5 o'clock there in the Heartland, every Thursday live, and then you can revisit it anytime you want until the next week. So it's all good on the ESPN app. It'll be great. We're excited.
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, Brockman, you have Rory in that parlay, correct?
Absolutely, my man.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you want the music for this, Terzo?
Yes.
Do you want the Masters music for your commentary on the Masters? Would you like that?
No, we don't need the Masters music for it. But I was just kind of at this point.
Ouch.
Brockman, is it a four-leg or a five-leg parlay?
It's a four-legger. The Pirates took care of business earlier in the week.
I'm sorry. We need the music for a five-leg parlay. I'm sorry. I'm going to abuse the host preemptory here and say this requires the music. Certainly, nothing's more springtime romance than a five-leg parlay. Chris?
I had Pirates first five innings on the run line. They hit that.
What the hell does that mean?
It means as long as they're winning after the first five innings, you're good.
Okay.
It's a way to kind of ensure that you don't get screwed by relief pitchers.
Okay. Who started that you liked so much?
Paul Skeens.
Skeens.
Five plus strikeouts. That hit. Rory plus 1,300 to win the Masters. Celtics plus 175 to win the East.
So this is not playing out for a while, is what you're saying.
Well, if Rory ends up winning the Masters, great cash-out opportunity, Rich. I'll teach you about cash-outs.
Oh, you mean where you're like, screw the rest of the parlay, I'll take my money now.
Take my money now.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, but would you?
Yep.
No, of course not.
And with that being said, Brockman, I hit a five-teamer last night.
Attaboy.
And I hit it, my last leg was the craziest way it could possibly have happened.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It was the
Terzo, we're up against the end of the we're up
the
against
bottom of the 12th
oh,
to give me
Bogarts.
The over in the Rockies Padres game.
Terzo, thanks for the call.
Attaboy, Terzo.
We gotta tap out. It's the end of the hour. Tom Pelissero and what's more likely. The Bogarts Grand Slam completed
Terzo. Gave him the over.
And he didn't want springtime romance in the background. What's he thinking?
Grand Slam.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.